Good morning, everyone. I'm also going to be speaking from a slightly different perspective, so I think we put together a great panel to really discuss the nuts and bolts of the implementation of this type of project, which as we were implementing, we realized there's not a lot up, so I hope this will be helpful. So I'm going to be talking about the development of a culturally adapted integrated community health worker and electronic health record intervention designed to improve hypertension management in South Asian communities. I don't have any disclosures. So just broadly, I'm going to start with some background, give an overview of our project, which is called Project Impact and is the core project of our NYU CUNY Prevention Research Center. And I'm going to spend most of the time really talking about our intervention implementation, including several different phases and with lessons learned. So just some background, in terms of health disparities research, you know, the Asian American population is the fastest growing racial and ethnic minority group in the United States, but there's still really a paucity of both epidemiological research as well as intervention-focused research for this population. So evidence-based strategies are often not translated and evaluated in Asian American communities. This is a little bit of background data on cardiovascular disease mortality rates for Asian Americans compared to non-Hispanic whites. This is recent data. And what you can see is that although stroke mortality and heart disease mortality has been declining, the decline in Asian populations is less compared to non-Hispanic white populations. And if you look at disaggregated data, disaggregated by subgroup, you can see that stroke mortality in the Asian Indian population has actually been increasing compared to other groups. The burden of cardiovascular disease in South Asian communities has actually been well documented, primarily in immigrant communities in the UK and Canada, although there's an increasing literature in the US as well. There is a documented higher prevalence of obesity and diabetes in this population. There's less data on hypertension, but we know that rates are similar or higher in this population. So no previous studies have examined factors associated with hypertension in this population or developed models for hypertension management and control, and so that's really what our study seeks to do. This is all within the context of the U.S. Million Hearts campaign, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with. U.S. Million Hearts seeks to prevent 1 million heart attacks and strokes by 2017. It's a federal initiative co-led by CDC and CMS designed to improve access to effective care and improve the quality of care for what they call the ABCSs, aspirin, blood pressure control, cholesterol, and smoking cessation. So the strategies of Million Hearts are designed to be scaled up and scaled up from proven community and clinical interventions. Million Hearts is really being implemented nationally through a variety of partnerships with state and local health departments, healthcare systems, and community-based organizations. However, there are very few Million Hearts initiatives that have really been designed and are targeting Asian American communities across the U.S. And so our PRC core project is really helping to fill that gap. So as I've mentioned, our core study is embedded in our larger prevention research center, and our mission at the NYU CUNY Prevention Research Center is to develop and evaluate effective and sustainable community clinical linkage models for chronic disease prevention in urban communities. Our core research project, Project Impact, stands for Implementing Million Hearts for Provider and Community Transformation. And our overall goal with the study is to really integrate two evidence-based strategies for hypertension management, electronic health record-based clinical decision support and physician feedback with community health worker-led coaching. Our specific aims for the project were to determine unique risk factors associated with hypertension in the South Asian community, to really understand how do practices serving large volumes of South Asian patients currently utilize EHR as well as health coaching efforts to manage hypertension in their patient population, and then to use that data to really implement this intervention and to test the efficacy, adoption, and impact of integrating EHRs with CHWs in improving hypertension management. So we have various partners on this project. NYU CUNY PRC is leading this project in partnership with Health First. Health First is New York City's largest Medicaid payer organization, and they're really a core partner in this project, playing a key role in helping to identify practice sites where we're going to implement the study, help in the sort of data process in terms of getting patient-level data, but I think importantly also helping to obtain claims and payer data. Again, the partnership with Health First is with an eye towards thinking about the sustainability and scalability of this project. if we can make the case through this project that it's worth it for Health First to employ CHWs, then that would be a huge, huge win. We're also working with IPRO, which is New York State's Quality Improvement Organization, and a coalition of community-based organizations serving the Asian American population. So this is just sort of a visual of our project impact design. Our EHR interventions will be, I'm just going to go to the next slide and talk about our study design and timeline. So we're using a hybrid implementation effectiveness model, a sort of modified stepped wedge design. We're enrolling 15 practices through the middle of next year. All participating sites are going to receive the EHR intervention, and the CHW intervention will be phased in after a year period of the EHR intervention at approximately half of the sites. So I'm going to move on to talk about our project implementation. So the first thing that we did was to conduct a risk factor analysis to really understand if there were some unique clinical and demographic and behavioral characteristics associated with hypertension in this population. What we did was draw data from our New York City Community Health Survey, which is an annual random digit dial survey of New York City adults, and it's modeled after the BRFSS and NHS. We restricted our analysis sample to non-Hispanic whites and foreign-born South Asians with hypertension. And we did find that South Asians have a higher prevalence of hypertension compared to non-Hispanic whites, although this was not statistically significant. But we did find that there were several significant differences in clinical and demographic profiles of hypertensive individuals. So on average, we found that South Asians with hypertension were quite a bit younger, almost 12 years younger than non-Hispanic whites. We also found that they were more likely to be male, more likely to be in poverty, and much less likely to speak English at home. In terms of clinical characteristics, we found that South Asians were more likely to have a lower BMI compared to non-Hispanic whites. And this is a finding that's been documented very well in diabetes, comparing Asians to non-Hispanic white groups, and we found something similar in hypertension. And then finally, we found that South Asians were less likely to report having eaten fruits and vegetables in the last day, and less likely to have or to report excellent or very good self-rated diet quality. So these are some of our key findings from that risk factor analysis. South Asian hypertensive tend to be younger, male, lower income, and much less likely to speak English at home, have a lower body mass index, and are less likely to smoke and have poor diet quality. So we're using those risk factors to really inform the design of our intervention and kind of what goes into both our CHW curriculum as well as potential for integrating that into the EHR intervention, and I'll discuss that in a minute. So the second piece that we've been working on and actually tracking the process of is practice engagement. So our goal with this piece is, you know, one, to recruit practices to participate in the study, but also to determine baseline characteristics of EHR use and patient coaching among practices to inform the intervention development. So in order to achieve this, we've identified practices that are serving South Asian patient populations in New York City that are members of Health First Network, and we're employing a variety of methods to engage practices, and I'll talk about some of those, and also conducting a practice assessment. So in terms of practice identification, our goal with the study was to implement in independent primary care settings that are serving large South Asian populations. As much as we'd love it, there's no list that exists, you know, that of South Asian serving practices. So what we did is work with our partner Health First to compile a list of all practices that had at least 100 hypertensive members in their network. And then we utilized a combination of geographic targeting of high density South Asian neighborhoods. We worked closely with the Health First marketing team. Health First, being the largest Medicaid payer in the city, serves a large low-income and minority population, and they have very active outreach and partnership efforts across various communities. So there are actually 35,000 South Asian patient members in the Health First Network, and so the marketing team has a very close relationship with practices, so we were able to leverage that relationship. And then we also filtered that list through an identification by provider surname, and this really came out of some prior formative work that we've done that indicates in the South Asian community in New York City, a large percentage are going to providers of their own ethnic background. likely due to very high rates of limited English proficiency in this community, as well as the fact that there really aren't any networks of FQHCs that are serving this population in New York City. So through that process, we identified 107 practices for potential inclusion. From that, through our engagement process, we've had substantive contact with 27 practices and ongoing engagement with 19 practices. We've conducted a practice survey to date with 24 practices, and this just is some basic preliminary data from our practice assessment. Of the practices we work with, they see approximately 130 unique patients. That's their approximate weekly patient volume. And as you can see, the majority of practices do have a majority of South Asian patients. About three-quarters have 70% or more South Asian patients. In terms of their use of EHR and health coaching type of efforts, we found that the majority of practices have EMRs that can run registry lists, although it's a much smaller percentage that actually use them. About a third of the practices are using CDS, and about 25% of the practices are referring patients to community programs. So, you know, some of our preliminary data does show that the type of intervention we're proposing can have an important impact in this population. Excuse me. In terms of practice engagement strategies, this is something we're also tracking, again, because I think this isn't something that's really documented in the literature, the process of engaging practices and kind of what it takes. So we're using a combination of letters, conducting calls, and really just dropping in to providers. We've held a CME event to engage practices. We've created a provider advisory board. And really, I think the key engagement strategy has been doing one-on-one meetings with practices. On average, we've met with practices about three in-person meetings prior to enrollment into the study. So our progress to date is that we've enrolled six practices into the intervention. And this just gives a sense of kind of the workflow of practice engagement. Some of that initial outreach that I talked about, we've sort of used our practice assessment survey as a hook, you know, to kind of engage the practices. And then the final step is signing both a memorandum of understanding with the practice that kind of outlines the research project, their roles and responsibilities. And we've also developed a business associate agreement with the practices because we're going to be working closely with their EHRs, seeing patient level data. It's really a protection for both the practices as well as the research team. So the final step that I'm going to talk about is what we're sort of working on now, which is our protocol development. Because we're testing and integrating two strategies, we really have to develop two protocols, both an EHR protocol and the CHW component. The EHR protocol is going to be rolled out first in all of the sites, and so that's what we've been focusing our efforts on now. Our goal with the EHR interventions, so I'm also a longtime CHW advocate. The CHW piece of this to me came very naturally. The EHR piece was a sort of a brand new world. And you know, our goal with designing this EHR intervention was to do something that's very realistic, simple and practical for the types of settings that we're working with, but also evidence-based. And so we've sort of distilled that down to two key components, drawing from the evidence base to improve hypertension management. That includes using registries of patients with uncontrolled hypertension to reduce missed appointments and identify high-risk patients who need follow-up, and then to incorporate alerts that can improve optimal medication ordering by patients' age and comorbidities. And the way we're describing this to practices that we're engaging in the study is really that in order to have an effective CHW integration as a member of your team, you really have to optimize the use of your EHR to really identify the patients that are most at need. So the process that we've used to develop this protocol has been a review of evidence-based practices and programs. We've drawn a lot from some of the Kaiser models of EHR integration, development of training materials for the practices, piloting, and we piloted the training and our workflow analysis that we'll be conducting at all practice sites with a practice that is not enrolled into the study, a very gracious practice that allowed time to work with their office manager and clinic staff. And then we've been developing culturally appropriate health education materials for inclusion in the EHR because one of our alerts will be an order set to counseling and specific materials for South Asian patient populations. So this is just sort of the next two steps. After a practice signs an MOU on business associate agreement, we've established a protocol for baseline and quarterly data collection pulls from the EHR. And prior to sort of launch of the intervention, we're conducting a three-day workday workflow analysis and training at each site. This is some examples of our culturally adapted materials. So we're adapting materials both from the Million Hearts campaign, which again has not to date really developed anything for the Asian American population, as well as working with our local city health department to adapt existing blood pressure management and health education materials for this population. The South Asian community, I should have mentioned this in the beginning, represents individuals from India, Bangladesh, and Pakistan. It is a diverse subgroup within a very diverse umbrella. Asian American umbrella, and it represents many different language, ethnic, and religious groups. And so the cultural tailoring piece is time intensive. So we're in the process of developing our CHW in our intervention component, and I wanted to present this because this was part of the process of how we engaged providers and kind of how we sold them on CHWs at our CME event and in our conversations. You know, I think we hear a lot from providers, our patients aren't compliant, they don't understand anything about hypertension, and so we tried to translate that within the context of a CHW for providers. And we really are messaging to the sites that CHWs were sort of as a complement to physicians and can help doctors interpret problems and develop action-oriented solutions that really take contextual life circumstances into account. In terms of the CHW piece, we've hired and trained our CHWs. Of critical importance to us was really hiring individuals from the community who have leadership in the community. We work closely with our the Community Health Worker Network of New York City to train our CHWs in core competencies. But we also believe that protocol training is a key piece of training of CHWs, and are working on that right now. What we found to be really critical is CHW engagement with practices from the very beginning. You know, so our CHWs were hired in year one, you know, and really involved in all of the initial outreach with the practices. And I think that's been really important in establishing rapport with the practices, with the clinic staff, and also to helping providers understand the value of CHWs and what it is they do and the complementary skill set that they offer. Similarly, CHWs are involved in our curriculum development and adaptation. So we are adapting this intervention from an evidence-based National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute CHW curriculum on hypertension management that we've already piloted in another Asian American population. So some lessons learned. There are a lot, even in this first year. But, you know, I think in terms of practice engagement, I think anybody who's worked on this type of study knows this, but, you know, it requires an incredible amount of persistence and a lot of, it's a lot of work, you know. And members of my team are here, research coordinator is here, she's out in the field all the time. And, you know, I think being flexible as well with the providers in the context is important. This next point, you know, I think in the current context, we are at this rare point in time where we have some great opportunities with ACA, with DSRIP, which is our New York State's Medicaid expansion. But I think that also creates conflicts. Some are sort of practical and logistical. For example, a colleague of mine at NYU has a large ARC-funded study to do practice facilitation around Million Hearts, and she's partnering with the health department, and they're recruiting, you know, some of the same practices. And, you know, what does that mean in terms of study design, in terms of how we're messaging this to providers? So those are, you know, those have been some of the current challenges. And then also just thinking about with Medicaid expansion going on, in the context of a study, you know, how do we control for that? Can we control for that? We probably not. I think what another key thing we're finding is, you know, when we go with providers, what they really want is technical assistance on EHR. They want someone to show them how to do this. And so, you know, that's what's been really key for us is to partner with our state's quality improvement organizations who has the skill set to really be able to provide that. And I think we've been very lucky in our partnership that they're on board, you know, with this type of study. But that's been very critical. And then, I mentioned this kind of CHW presence and engagement from the beginning has been very key. In terms of study design, you know, I think we're working we've had to have flexibility to design a program that's suited to individual practice contexts, but that is scalable and replicable at the same time, you know. And I think the need for protocols is key, but also developing protocols that, you know, I feel like I'm learning with practices. When you've seen one, you've seen one. You know, it's not there's not a lot of generalizability, and so, you know, kind of balancing those kinds of things in terms of data access and IT. You know, I think a particular challenge is developing an intervention that's EHR platform agnostic. You know, we're working with independent PCP sites across the city. They all use different EHRs, you know, and that's a real challenge, you know, in terms of thinking, do they have the same functionality, in terms of developing training materials. And so we are seeking to implement this in at least 3 different EHR platforms, but, you know, we, I'll end with that. I think one of the earlier speakers spoke to this, but, you know, creating platforms for CHW EHR communication. I think our vision was also that CHWs will access the EHR and there'll be this great kind of feedback mechanism and loop. I think what we're moving towards is to create templates that the CHW will be able to track some of their goal setting with participants, be able to upload that onto the EHR. We're also in conversations with a group from Penn State, the Penn State Community Health Worker Center, that's developed some technology to be able to do this. And then I think, you know, the IRB MOU business associate, that piece is very, I think we could have a discussion about this, but I just wanted to highlight that as sort of a particular challenge in this type of research, and, you know, something to consider. So I'm going to end with that so that we can move on to discussion. I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors and partners. And this is my contact information. Thank you.
Okay, so with that, I'm going to ask Samantha to come up to the table, please, for questions. And while Sam's coming up, I just want to summarize or give my small summary of this panel's discussions. I mean, in general, you've seen just a touch, a glimpse of the translational work that's being done within the Prevention Research Center network, right? From individual, starting from scratch, programs being developed and tested so that they can be recommended to state and national partners, as well as having a significant contribution to reimbursement rates and other information nationally as CHWs become more prominent as a model throughout the nation. So I appreciate the panel members, and with that, let me open it up to questions. Any questions? Yes.
Hi, my name is Kate Perkins. I'm co-chair of the Rural Health Committee, and I thank you all. It's really wonderful. We have similarly been struggling with the data issues and how you have access to the EHR, how you upload and download. So, could you offer some additional information about, you know, if you're using an iPad programming, you're using iForms, if you're doing a multi-step upload, download, what kind of formats are you using, and what are some of the sort of key bits of detail that you wanted to get out of the presentation that can help the rest of us as we all go through this parallel universe struggle?
So this is not my area of expertise. I rely on the experts on my team. What we have come up with, though, as a workaround for now until we can get greater access directly from the iPad, is all of the patient data gets sent to a place at the university that then we can download from. So that's how we put stuff into the iPad. And then the CHW will come back from their home visits to the clinic, where they will be able to transfer a summary note into, I think, a phone note the provider is what we are currently using. So it's not at all ideal, but it's where we're at right now.
I mean, I think for us there were two pieces. You know, when we initiated the project, we're partnering with Health First. Huge data warehouse would be great. You know, we can just download data from their data warehouse. Well, it's not, you know, it doesn't work that way. And it really is requiring health first to go to sites to basically download data from the site, de-identify it at health first, and then share it with our research team. So that's kind of the quarterly data poll that we're doing. In terms of the CHW and practice communication piece, I'd be happy to share more information on the Shreya Kanzobi at Penn State Community Health Worker Center. Their team has created some type of technology program, essentially, that again is EHR platform agnostic, so it can speak to any EHR, but essentially serves as a template for CHWs to be able to upload. And so I think we're planning on using that, and I'm just happy to share that with the group.
Yes.
I want to follow up on the EHR question, and probably just was asked earlier about things, but I don't know how many people have been to a doctor's office recently, but you know, EHR to many strengths, improving communications between patients or the community and providers, not one of them. So how do you anticipate keeping the best of what the reason we want to have community health workers in the first place, which is the engagement, the addressing social determinants, doing what doctors and nurses are increasingly failing to do, and integrating, but you got to document for the medical record on what this doesn't have any value to us whatsoever. So how are you affecting that in terms of training and implementation at your various programs?
So I think I didn't talk about this in my presentation, but part of our PRC is doing also this clinical community linkages. And so our community, the community health workers that we work with are embedded in SQCHCs, and they have access to the record. And I think the communication in terms of, if I understand your communication question, is the communication between the CHW and the physician is where it is the target in terms of having to close that link. And the community health worker is able to communicate directly through, I think it's notes or alerts or whatever they call it, but they can actually communicate back and forth. They can check in with each other via the system to be able to close those gaps. And so that's kind of implementation-wise. The capacity within the FQCHCs are very different, and so that's part of our project is to try and figure out the standard, to standardize some mechanism for which all CHWs can communicate effectively with the provider and or the team. Is that?
No, that's not what I'm asking at all. I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is the EHR is great thing, and we're doing a project where we're doing this as well, but it also sucks the community health workers' brain and eyeballs into us, into the medical
system,
and further distances them
from
the target population. That's the risk, and just as the EHR sucks, you know, healthcare providers further away from the patient, emotionally, intellectually, and so on. So, unless I think there's a conscious strategy, I guess I'm trying to think, what's your conscious strategy to keep the community health worker facing the patient and not facing the clinic?
Yeah.
That was the question.
Got it. So I would just say that is one of the things we considered. I mean, we did not load the intervention on the iPad. And so there will be a hard copy of the module between the community health worker and the participant. And that's what they'll be referring to. And so the documentation was kept as minimal as possible. We don't want the GHW staring at an iPad.
Yeah.
I would just add for our intervention, I mean, the model that we have tested in the community is really the group-based educational intervention with some one-on-one goal-setting component. It's based in and employs adult learning practices, so, you know, there really isn't a technology component in terms of the health care changes.
Do you guys tap into issues in coordinating with other team managers? A lot of, we also work with professional services providers, but then there's also the case manager for the provider, the case manager from the payer, the case manager for behavioral health, and obviously trying to incorporate the whole care team into these. And it's like, it can be really challenging to create good communication instead of just setting up like hundreds of meetings to coordinate care. So have you run into those challenges?
We can
conducted focus groups with our providers teams. So to basically, the part of the formative baseline work is to figure out how these teams are functioning across sites and trying to glean what are the most effective strategies, what people are comfortable with, what's working, what's not working, and then trying to create that dialogue across sites in terms of patient coordination. So we pulled together focus groups with the care team of all of these players that are involved in it, with the CHW, to try and understand first what's happening and then trying to find those strategies that seem to be most effective. That's one way that we've done it. Because there are issues, and they need to kind of come out. I mean, so getting people to talk about it, so it seemed to be pretty effective in terms of identifying where people were at and then strategizing around those issues.
I think everyone's struggling with that. And right now, we just have multiple meetings.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get more efficient.
Right.
Absolutely. Replication.
I think also for us, it's to think about the CHW again as a member of the team rather than as the sort of outside person who's only working in the community to sort of building the linkage. Our project is a little bit different in that we are working with these independent providers. They tend to be quite small. You know, one provider, 1 to 2 providers, maybe a nurse, an office manager, and a couple of medical assistants. And so I think our challenge is making sure that I think they're all excited about the CHW piece and making, preventing burnout kind of overburden.
So I think that what I found really interesting is that everyone's trying to develop protocols, like a lot of you mentioned, everyone has to follow their protocol. So we have people who are asking the same questions because they have to follow their workflows instead of being able to kind of flexibly pass the ball to create one plan. So I think that's just, like you said, it's an evolving kind of,
Right, and that's where we're fortunate in the sense that we're looking at everyone's quality measures, just as an example, right, at one time for the larger healthcare model in West Virginia. And that is targeting all of the overlaps across the HRs, across the... So while we're doing that, let's work in the same thing. The CHWs will be key and involved in that process, we hope, that we can streamline, and the CHWs and everything that they're related to will benefit from that.
Contributing to the other people's workflows rather than
just right.
If you want to read, Caitlin Allen just published a really nice paper in Preventing Chronic Disease, and she interviewed 300 community health workers that are already embedded in the primary care team to kind of, from the CHW perspective, what is working for them. And she did both quantitative and qualitative work, and it's a wonderful paper. It just came out last month, I think. Her last name is Allen, and Caitlin with a C. So it's from that CHW perspective in terms of efficacy around a functioning team.
Did I see a question back here, or maybe not? Any other questions? These are great questions. All right. Any last-minute comments from the panel? All right, well, thank you for joining us this morning. Appreciate it. And we'll see you next year with updated findings.